Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us. Father, as we reference Patrick's chapter 46, and this is the insight you've given me into this spiritually, Lord, in what we need to be doing. And so, God, I pray that you would anoint your word. I pray that you would teach us the things you'd want us to learn. And above that, I pray that we would be taking notes today. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you. Go before us. Bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm taking the text out of Romans 16, verses 17 to 20. I titled this, Holding to Solid Teaching of God's Word. And it was more of a reference to me and me taking notes, because when you do take notes, I just was always blessed to see people sitting out there in the congregation while I'm teaching and they're taking notes. And I had sat in between services on a Sunday and talked to some of them, and they'd refer back about 5-6 months of notes before and flip back the pages and say, oh yeah, this is what you taught right here. I have it all down, and I thought that was so awesome. Just holding to the solid teaching of God's word. So let's go ahead and look at this. Verse 17. Paul, the apostle, writing to the church in Rome, said, Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. That's why it's so important to take notes. Paul warned the church because he was concerned something harmful might come in to tear it down in its witness. Amazingly, when Paul did get to Rome, that's exactly what he found, what he had warned them against. Paul warned against two specific areas. The first one was those who cause divisions. Now, he's not necessarily speaking of bringing heresies into the church, even though that can happen. He's speaking of those who would divide churches into factions that will be loyal to them. This is why it's so important to know God's word, because anything can be taught. And if you haven't taken notes, or you haven't taken a CD on the teaching or anything like that, we forget. We forget right away. There are people who suddenly show up in a congregation, usually from another church, where they have also caused trouble. Man, I hated when that happened. They're knowledgeable. They're leaders in the sense they enthusiastically get people to easily follow them. But the Bible warns us to prove those who want to teach. People like this are usually welcomed and quickly put in the ministry because, of course, most churches need people who want to serve. But the problem is, soon after, things begin to develop. Not good things. These new teachers start to push a particular point of doctrine, and they leave out other important truths. Again, taking notes. The second area, those who put obstacles in others' ways. Here, Paul mentions offenses. They add things to God's word that get in the way of those who are really trying to obey the Bible and follow Jesus. The Pharisees imposed all kinds of extra biblical requirements on their disciples. They had hundreds of detailed points of Sabbath observance, strict controls on diet, and the observance of holy or special days. We see that in Matthew 23, verses 4 to 5, and Matthew 23, verse 13, where Jesus just nails them on it. Oh, they don't deny the essentials of the Christian faith, but they bring things in that were specifically non-biblical. Again, I can't stress enough, that's why you have to take notes. You see, when it becomes wrong, is when they try to impose these standards on others and then divide the church because some won't conform to them. Paul wrote about that to the church Galatia in Galatians 5, verse 1. We can't allow ourselves to be taken into bondage by anyone. Those who divide the church over minor matters or insist others conform to their personal standards of behavior. What they're doing, they're adding to God's word. Comes down to their motivation and their basic method. Let's look at their motivation. When they first come into a fellowship, they present themselves as teachers who want to instruct and help others to move the church forward. But this isn't what they achieve, nor is it really what they're after. Verse 18, Paul said, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words, flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple." They could be pastors who dominate their fellowships, or evangelists who make a lot of money and live lavishly off their followers. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Let's look at their method. They operate by deception. They deliberately set out to deceive. Paul said here, by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. You know what? It made me think of Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 2. God says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors," says the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings," says the Lord. Man, that's radical. The issue isn't making or keeping friends. The issue is pleasing the Lord. It's keeping a consistent testimony before him. Verse 19, he said, "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." Now we know about evil, but more than that, our minds and hearts need to be filled with what is good. What's Paul referring to here? He's referring to biblical doctrine. You see, we need to be on guard against those who would lead us from the simplicity of what we've been taught to the deception of special revelations, new insights, new doctrines, or new movements that are simply not biblical. Verse 20, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." This goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where what Paul said no doubt refers to Jesus crushing Satan. Adam and Eve had been placed in the Garden of Eden by God. They were given rule over God's creative order. They were to manage the earth for God. They were free to do as they saw fit, with one exception. And you guys know the exception. They could eat fruit from any of the trees of the garden, anyone, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told them if they ate from it, they would die. Well, guess what? Satan picked up on that and he used it against them. Man, we need to be careful. We need to be in God's word. We need to be studying it. When we're being taught verse by verse through the Bible, like I teach, and we expound, things that pop out to you, you need to write down. You need to just keep it to reference back to Romans 16, verses 17 and 20. Satan entered the garden, and he came to the woman with the suggestion, Eve, if God prohibited you from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is, if God placed even this one single restriction on you, God might as well have forbidden you from eating from any of the trees. Satan's argument was God can't be good, nor can God have our best interests at heart if God makes restrictions. We should be able to do anything. Well, the first of Satan's temptations was a temptation to doubt the goodness of God. The second temptation was to question God's truthfulness. Can you believe that? History recorded Eve decided to trust her own observations and judgment rather than God's word. It resulted in eating from the tree and giving some to Adam, who also ate. The third temptation is what turned Eve to disobedience. Satan told Eve that God had placed a restriction on her because God didn't want her and Adam to reach their full potential. See the deception here? This is what Paul was talking about. Well, God punished the woman by subjecting her to pain in childbirth. He punished the man by subjecting him to hard labor in order to earn a living. But God also made a promise of his judgment on the serpent. Satan struck Christ's heel at the cross. Hatred from the religious leaders, mocking by the crowds, severe beatings, and then the crucifixion. But it was a bruising and not a defeat for Jesus, because on the third day after the crucifixion, Jesus rose from the grave triumphantly. Satan's triumph blew up in his face because he just had his head crushed. By this, Satan's power over you and me was broken. You see, Satan reasoned if he could get the man and woman to sin, which he did, the wrath of God against sin would come down on them. But what Satan failed to see, Jesus would take the place of sinners, bearing our punishment, and he would have his power broken in the process. Satan's temptation was on our failure to understand what is good. This is what I see in reading God's word, studying it, taking notes when we're being taught it. God's goodness is not a quality allowing us to do anything even if it hurts us. It's a characteristic with beneficial rules of God's moral nature. I'll conclude with this scripture. Paul exhorted Titus in Titus chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. He said, for a bishop must be blameless. A bishop is like a pastor, an elder, a deacon, an overseer, a CEO, if you will, a Christian CEO. As a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to teach us and reveal through it, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would minister to people in regards to my reference to Patrick's chapter 46 on note-taking. We need to take notes when we're being taught God's word, just like anything else that we're being taught on. And I just pray that this teaching would just sink in with those that are listening to it. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Go before us now, in Jesus' name.